Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. York County Councilman William Bump Roddy is our guest this afternoon, District Number 4, and we appreciate him working us into his ever-changing work schedule to be here. You're everywhere, man.
Well, it's always a challenge, but I'll move a lot of things to come sit in front of you, man.
I want to know why you're wearing the Saints hat today.
It just matches my outfit.
Oh, I see.
No allegiance to the Saints at all. Actually, I'm a Carolina Panther fan. I'm truly a Carolina Panther fan. I know I put on a lot of hats and jerseys throughout the season, but if you want to know where my heart is, my heart's with the Carolina Panthers, and it all started when I had Trey Roddy. He wants to start going to the games, and we started going to the games, and I'm like, I can't come to the Panthers games and root against them, so I converted it over.
Good for you. Well, we'll talk about them a little bit later. You might want to just give a brief thumbnail sketch about your background, because since you were last on the show, we've probably had 10 or 15,000 new people move here that don't know a thing about the man, William Bump Roddy.
Well, William Bump Roddy, born and raised right here in Rock Hill, went to all the public schools, elementary, middle school, high school, even went to York Tech and Winthrop University, where I graduated in 1996, some short time ago. that was before the gray hair came in. Majored in economics, so my background's, I have a lot of financial background. Married with two kids and a beautiful wife who I hope is listening, Geraldine Roddy, who's a manager over at Harris Sheet Associates. Shop local.
Oh, there you go. I'm glad she's over there and not at Earth Fair. I mean, my gosh, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Earth Fair just closing everything down in one fell swoop.
And I see there's a lawsuit pending.
Oh, yeah.
They gave short a notice.
Yeah, the employees are filed suit.
And that's one thing I'm a big stickler of. You have to do right by your employees. I'm one of the council members on council who always trying to incorporate something into our regiment that recognize and reward our employees. So hopefully those guys and girls over at Earth Fair will be taken care of.
I know one of the things the council has done well here the last couple of years is you did a complete analysis of all your pay grades and pay positions, and you found some shortfalls that you had, and you took care of getting those up to where they needed to be. And that's a constant moving target, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was a big supporter, and everyone on council, I think, was a big supporter of making sure we take care of our employees. Because one thing that we don't want to do, and we saw this in the sheriff department some years ago when Sheriff Bryant was involved, is that he would train the guys up. They would get the experience, and they would move on to the private sector to another outfit to make more money. And I think just recently, I think it just come out that our sheriff department is now going to be starting off somewhere around $40,000. And that's a huge win-win for the county and the citizens, because we want to get men and women in place who are going to be there for a while, who are going to protect and serve our community.
Well, one thing you also have done as a council, if you've allowed the elected offices of the sheriff and the solicitor,
they have their own budget.
Have their own budget. They can manage it the way they want to manage it. You give them what the dollar amount is, and they can kind of shuffle things around the way they best see fit.
Well, they have a pretty good system going where they can realize what they need, where they need it, a lot faster, and use it a lot more efficient than what someone sitting behind a desk who meets twice a month can put together for them. So I think that was Dr. Britt Blackwell's idea when he started talking with Sheriff Bryant before he left, to start looking at doing some of his own budgeting, and I think Kevin Brackett picked up on it, and so it's worked out beautifully.
All right. You've got a big decision to make here sometime soon. You've narrowed the field down to three finalists. There's a meet and greet tomorrow night at the administration building, the plush but not overly ostentatious new. I'm so glad you all did that. I mean, that should have been done decades ago. But we really have a beautiful administration building up there in York. And you're going to allow anybody who wants to come in to hear a short presentation from each of the three finalists and do a little meet and greet. little wine and cheese, and go on.
Well, we certainly want the entire York County community to come out to meet our three finalists. I think we have three great finalists, three great candidates, who either one of them could probably step in and do the job. Currently, we have an interim manager. He's one of our finalists. But we certainly want the public to weigh in and meet these guys and girls face-to-face and interact with them. And we want to see how they interact with the public, because they will be the face of the county going forward, whoever it may be. And it's just so important that the public has some buy-in to who we're considering to become our county manager.
You know what I offered? I told Britt Blackwell the other day, I said, I'll tell you what, I'll come up and do three straight talk shows, and you all can watch and see how they respond. He didn't like that idea. But it seems to me, and I've thrown this out with the other council candidates, council members that I've had on here recently, that York County, with its dramatic growth, and there's no end in sight for that growth, wants to find a candidate who will be willing to stand up to the council members and say, you know what, Bump, that is not the best way to do this. You ought to think about doing this. And there be enough respect amongst all those assembled that, you know, you might say, you know what, he or she may be right. Maybe I wasn't looking at this thing the right way.
Well, I'll tell you, we had a gentleman in place that did just that, by the name of Jim Baker. He was a real firm believer, and he would give us the direction, and he would stand by it. And I think some personalities on council, you know, it's a give or take. Some personalities on council may or may not have liked that style of management, and then we move on and we get Bill Shanahan. He had a different style of management, and hopefully this particular manager that comes in will be able to articulate his stance and stand by it and don't budge, because sometimes we as council members lose sight that we don't do this day to day. We do this part time. We come in twice a week, twice a month, and sometimes extra meetings. And we really need someone who has a strong voice and strong leadership who will say, this is where we need to be. This is what we need to do. And if we don't do it this way, it won't turn out the way it needs to be.
Well, I know you all had an outside firm that helped you assemble candidates. And I would imagine part of the criteria was, give us somebody, people who are in rapidly growing communities or have a background with rapid growth and how they've dealt with it.
Well, one thing that we've seen with a lot of candidates that we did interview is several of them came with a strong financial background. That's one thing that we definitely need on the county side, someone who definitely understands how the financial wheels turn. We also needed someone who could come in and be strong, because there's a lot of public influence that goes on with elected bodies, and we need someone who could be firm with council, be firm with the community, as well as have that leadership skill that will drive the employees to achieve what council sets out. The biggest thing that I look for is someone who works well with employees, because they're the ones who handle the day-to-day operation. They're the face of the county. They're the ones who execute the plan that council sends down. And so we need someone who can really articulate and motivate our employees to get the job done. And I think we've been pretty successful with that part of our county managers over the past.
Well, you're down to three, and I would imagine all three of those have got a lot of what you just talked about. Now you have to figure out which one is going to be the one you're going to select. And I understand you may be making that decision tomorrow night.
Yeah, our hopes and plans are to get in and really hammer this thing out and interview the candidates over and over again and get a real comfort level to where we're able to walk out of that meeting, executive session meeting tomorrow night with the new county manager. So hopefully by sometime around midnight, we're able to announce that we've selected a new county manager to lead York County.
All right. All right, let's switch gears. You got a couple of sizable issues that you all are dealing with. One of them involves the city of Rock Hill and its request to merge the existing TIF districts, give them more, you know, borrowing power. They're not asking for the term to be extended in terms of paying it off. But I guess it all boils down to the fact that the city has got a remarkable building boom underway right now that nobody anticipated when these TIFs were originally put together, and they need some extra money to do the infrastructure. So where are you on that?
Well, I've been meeting with those in the downtown area, those who have a vested interest in Knowledge Park, and they've kind of showed me the plan going forward. They've met with several council members, and you have to remember this thing's been going on downtown with TIF since the mid-80s. It's one of those things that it turns slow just like government does. You know, nothing happens overnight, and I applaud Rock Hill for its effort to reinvent itself every time dramatic economic changes come through Rock Hill. They've done a great job of adapting to the changes, trying to reinvent itself when it needs to be. But the merging of the TIFs will allow Rock Hill to borrow up to another $74 million to help fund some infrastructure needs that they see going forward, with some parking structures that will help support investments that come in the form of jobs and the building growth. If you ever go down through White Street, Knowledge Park, when there are things going on, and can you imagine another 1,500 or 2,000 employees coming to the downtown area? We're going to need parking spaces, and I totally support the effort to do that, but we just want to make sure that we put together the right package that has transparency, some accountability, and making sure that things going forward are able to be funded in the manner in which they're intended to be funded.
You know, Bump, a couple weeks ago I went in after early Sunday morning service to see the volleyball tournament over there at the indoor sports arena. And my wife and I were in the car, and we got in the big old parking deck that seats 800 cars, and we went up. And we went up. We got the last parking spot in the 800 deck garage. So you're right. I mean, the parking is going to be a huge, huge issue.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to the next 10, 15, 20 years of what Knowledge Park is going to do. I think Rock Hill hit it right on the head with bringing the sports tourism aspect to the downtown area. I don't think it would have been as viable if they'd have went any other direction. So I applaud the city of Rock Hill, the sports commission, and all those who weighed in and say, hey, let's put a sports arena downtown Rock Hill. And as you know, we have coming in a couple of weeks, the SIAC men's and women's college basketball tournament right here in Rock Hill. And I think that's going to really showcase what a venue this is to the public, who's already seen part of it with basketball tournaments that's been there, volleyball tournaments that's been there. I'm even looking forward to the daddy-daughter dance that's going to be happening at the end of the month over at the sports arena.
All right, other end of the county, Carowinds Boulevard. Interesting project, huge project. Anybody who tries to use the Carowinds Boulevard exit during the height of the season for Carowinds has got an issue getting in and getting out of there. I'll never forget a couple of years ago when they had Scarewinds up there. I'm coming back down from seeing my son up in Charlotte, and I saw all these cars backed up almost to the state line. I said, what is going on here? And they were all getting off there to go to Scarewinds. I said, Lord have mercy.
You sure they wasn't just checking out that beautiful York County, welcome to York County sign that we had placed on the interstate? But, man, and Carowinds has been a real big boom for this area. You know, it's received tremendous support from the local community. It receives a lot of tourism from people coming from everywhere that visits Carowinds during peak season, during non-peak season. And Carowinds is one of those theme parks that has evolved and continues to do it and base its operation around a lot of seasonal things. You know, the invention of Scarewinds years ago really took Carowinds and filled in a lot of gap time that where traditionally parks are just closed because of the weather. They made a Christmas theme, lit it up.
Winterfest.
And, you know, 4th of July, they do big fireworks. You see cars parked along the interstate. Carowinds is going to play a major part in helping the funding aspect of the projects that are to come, along with the State Infrastructure Bank. We're looking at, from three exits now, probably $160 million. And Carowinds years ago worked in a mechanism that they were able to put a small fee in their emissions fee that will help with projects like this. And we certainly applaud them for their forward thinking, and it's going to pay dividends not only for them but the county as well.
So the actual project, which is, I don't even know the scope of upgrading the Carowinds Boulevard. But is it going to be another one of these diverging diamonds that's part of the State Infrastructure Bank grant
I haven't seen the design, but you would have to imagine it's going to be one of those overpass, underpass that definitely keeps traffic moving, because one thing that is a safety aspect when you have sitting cars that back up onto the interstate when people are trying to get on and off. So I'm looking forward to seeing those three projects get funded by State Infrastructure Bank. And this will be the first time since I've been on council that the State Infrastructure Bank has gone this far with a York County application, because years ago we submitted the one for Dave Lyle Boulevard Extension, and that had no chance of getting funded. But I think our state legislators, Gary Simmel, Tommy Pope, and Wes Klein, and all those guys down in Columbia, are really starting to pay some real dividends for York County now of getting us in the conversation of receiving some of this huge state money that we need.
So the remaking of this this interchange is what, $150, $160 million?
We're looking at about $160 million.
And a portion of that is coming from this special tax that they have on their tickets.
Part of it will come from a special tax that Carowinds put on their ticket. Part of it, we have to have a local match. We're looking at about $20 to $22 million that will come from our C funds that's allocated annually. So we're looking at giving up some local paving money to go towards this project. We're hoping that it doesn't take it all for the 8 to 10 year span, and we'll have to work out the numbers to make sure we're still able to do some pavings and take care of hometown during this process while we're expanding and taking care of those interchanges.
You set aside on the C funds a portion every year, do you not, for economic development?
Yeah, economic development gets about 10% of the C funds that go towards economic development, yeah. And that helps fund any kind of infrastructure that new businesses need to help get them going. Maybe they need access, they need to widen a road, widen an interchange or intersection. So those funds have definitely been worthwhile to York County. And with the increase in gas tax over the years, we've seen our C funds go from, when I started in 2011, we were around 400,000. Now we're about double that number, just because the things that they've done out of Columbia. We're receiving somewhere between $700,000 and $800,000 a year now per district. All and right. That equates to a lot of money that we can go into some neighborhoods and pave roads. And now that's a bigger chunk of money that we're able to take portions of it to help pave.
So that's where your 20 million is going to come from, a piece of that every year over the next 10 years. All right. We got to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you're listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Riggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonRiggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Back after these words, and a reminder that you, of course, are listening to us broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week, prepared right before your eye. Everybody ready? 1, 2, 3. How do we do it?
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Love the bread. Number 19's the best.
Fresh, delicious bread.
It's fresh.
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Good Pharmacy, building trust for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. Enjoy our spacious new modern look and take advantage of Rock Hill's original drive-thru with pickup and drop-off service.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration. When you are faced with damage to your home, there is only one company you need to know, Paul Davis Restoration. Only one company with 50 years of corporate support and 20 years of local presence. Only one company with 8 trained and certified water mitigation techs on call and ready to respond to your loss 24/7, 365. There is only one company you need to know. Call Paul Davis Restoration, 803-329-1140.
Now available from Founders Federal Credit Union, EdgeUp. EdgeUp is the newest and easiest way to fund Founders Loyalty Select. our highest yield savings account. Enroll in EdgeUp today, and any purchases made with your Founders debit card may qualify for daily EdgeUp transfers. Log in to Founders Online to enroll today. Relax, we're giving you an edge on your savings. Account restrictions apply, federally insured by NCUA.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
Quality of the food. I get what I want. It tastes great every time.
Hit the spot, definitely. It's amazing.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, with the one and the only William Bump Roddy. He is your York County Councilor from District Number 4. Have you spent any time over the last year dealing with this Carolina Panther issue at all?
I've heard a little bit about the Panthers in the area. I'm not really sure, but it has been it's been a world of experience to even be a part of something like this that's looking to come to York County. I remember when I first got on council, I was involved with pending litigation, from lawsuits to landfills to things that are still going on right now. And I thought I was going to have to go back to school to get a law degree, but those things kind of tapered off. But, you know, certainly this Panther idea has breathed new life into the citizens of York County. People are looking forward to it. I tell people, they come up to me at church and say, hey, what's taking so long with the Panthers deal? And the first thing I tell them is that, you know, the things and that you're hearing publicly doesn't coincide to what the actual negotiations have been behind closed doors. The numbers that being thrown around publicly are not the same that's going on in negotiation, and I think that makes it harder for the public to understand what's going on, what it's going to take. And we're trying to make sure that this is a good fit for York County. And the one thing that each and every, if you ask each council member, they'll tell you that the investment level that's being told to the public, it's not the investment level that is wanting to be committed to on paper, signed, sealed, and delivered to the county in the form of an agreement. So that makes it difficult when you're trying to nail down a project of this magnitude.
Last week, when I had Dr. Britt Blackwell on here, one of your fellow council members, he mentioned that just recently, and I guess that's the right way to frame it, you worked it out so that your County Finance Director Kevin Madden, who's also your assistant county manager, could be working directly with the Panthers on numbers rather than going through different layers and different people and what have you.
I think that has helped us move the ball a little further to the goal line when we're able to deal directly versus a third party or going through David Swenson, our economic development director. You know, we need someone to be in the room to pull out all the fluff and some of the numbers, making sure that things work for us financially. And that's the number one concern with all seven council members, is that this deal works for York County on the financial side. It looks good and pretty on the surface, but underneath is where all the action and deals are being made to make sure that at the end of the day, we can stand in front of our taxpayers and say we made the best deal in the best interest of our York County citizens and not anything else.
Every time the county brings a business to York County, you have an incentive package. And the incentive package is based on a formula that I know the Economic Development Office has, and I don't know how that works, but it's basically, if we invest this kind of money, what kind of return are we going to get out of this thing? I can only imagine that the incentive package being requested for a project this large, which is, let's say it's $1 billion, and I don't know what the number is, but if it's $1 billion, they got to be asking for bigger incentives, right?
Exactly. And the one thing you just validated my point. We've never heard $1 billion out of the Panthers to be put on paper. You know, that's the one thing that's holding the ball up on the 1 yard line. You know, if we could get something in place that guarantees that size investment of $1 billion, York County Council has always expressed more willingness to increase its incentive to land that big $1 billion deal. But we haven't heard a number, or we haven't seen any numbers on paper that reflect that kind of a commitment to our community. And that's been the holdup. along with a few other things that we have not done in the past that allow investors to come in and put apartments in and incentivize apartments. We haven't incentivized commercial storefronts. And, you know, this is some of the conversations that the organization out of North Carolina is having with our people, that they want a tax structure that includes apartments. They want a tax structure or in this case, a tax abatement to include apartments, retail, commercial. And that's not what the fee in lieu was designed to incentivize, those type deals. We will definitely do the things like headquarters, commercial office space. Those are what the fee in lieu were designed to do and boost for jobs to come to this community, but not to take care of commercial developers who just want to come in and build apartments and retail commercial.
So therein lies the rub in terms of what is being requested versus what is being you're willing to take. I mean, it seems, you know, it goes back to what we said before. This is a much bigger deal than the county's ever had. And so the ask by the developer, i.e. the Panthers, is much bigger than it's ever been. And if you look at what the return is going to be, you know, somebody threw out that right now that piece of property, 200 acres of property, is producing about $600 a year in taxes, right? $600. That's 100% of nothing. If you get 5% of something, sounds like it might work out pretty well.
Well, I'll just sum this up by saying our incentive package is based on what guarantee any investor is willing to come in and put on paper. We had another well-known investor come in and buy the current location that I work at and made an investment of over $400 million, and their incentive package was nowhere near what's being asked for the same level of investment with this Project Avalanche. I got to make sure I say the official term, which is Project Avalanche, is committed to investing somewhere. The biggest number we've heard or seen on paper is $500 million. And I'll tell you the numbers for what used to be known as Bowater, Abitibi, and New Indy now. They came in and made a $400-plus million investment, and they didn't ask for nowhere near the incentives that Project Avalanche is requesting. And it kept 400 jobs working in this community, and I don't think Project Avalanche is bringing 400 jobs to York County.
But the impact of tourism as a result of Project Avalanche will be much bigger than Bowater ever would bring. Nobody's going down and tour Bowater, right?
No, not at all.
And this is one of 32 teams across that can locate anywhere in the country, right?
Well, the one thing, and we've given a huge bump up in our incentive package to accommodate for that. You know, the biggest deal we've ever done here locally was about 25%, and that was with LPL and the Lash Group up in Fort Mill just a couple years ago. And you know, this what we're putting on the table now for Project Avalanche doubles those incentives, at least, and then some.
Yeah.
So we've stuck our neck out pretty far to be accommodating to the asks and the requests, because we do want this project to come to York County, because we do see the potential, but we have to see some commitment in the form of a contract.
All right, we're getting down to the wire here. I mean, the Panthers want to get rolling. You're tired of dealing with this. I know the city's tired of dealing with it. Everybody's exhausted. You do head counts. Have we got the votes? Does the county have the votes?
We have the votes to protect York County's best interests.
Oh, don't be a putt. No, be that way now, Bob. So you're willing to let this project walk?
It's not willing to let it walk. It's willing to make sure we put the right deal in place to protect our York County citizens. If that means the project is slowed up and takes another 6 months, if the Panthers are willing to take that chance and slow their building plans another 6 months, we may be still interviewing 6 months from now, talking about we're at the half-yard line versus the one-yard line.
All right. Well, Bump Roddy, we have run out of time, and I could go on another 2 hours with you on this topic.
I wish we could.
We'll come back and do a rerun, all right? We'll make it all Panther Radio. How's that? And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. Dr. Scott Oliver is here to lead the course. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.